American money for Syrian rebels.
Will it be enough to help topple the Assad government?
Lenders shift focus.
Taking on more high-risk customers.
Teenager held in a basement.
The door was locked from the outside.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Obama's asking Congress for $500 million to arm and train what are considered moderate rebel forces in Syria. These are groups opposing the Assad government in the civil war and Sunni militants who have spread their violence to Iraq. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
$500 million will have a significant impact on small arms and supplies, non-lethal supplies as well, for any of the combatants on the battlefield. But it might not be enough when it comes to toppling the Assad government.
In Iraq, with the government under pressure from marauding Sunni militants, a top Shiite cleric is calling for political leaders to agree on a prime minister and other top officials before a key parliament meeting next week. CBS's Charlie Daggett is in Baghdad.
The grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, for him to come out and level criticism against Nouri al-Maliki, it's a big deal because he wields so much power here. What he said is, in essence, that Maliki isn't capable of holding together this government, and he's asked for a sort of more broad coalition government.
And CBS's David Martin tells us the U.S. is now flying drones over Baghdad, part of the effort to protect the American embassy. Ukraine's moves to link up with the European Union angered Russia and touched off the crisis that eventually toppled the country's president and pitted Moscow against Washington. Well, now Ukraine's new president, Petro Poroshenko, has gone ahead and signed a new trade deal with the EU.
What a great day. Maybe most important day for my country after the Independence Day.
Russia doesn't see it as a great day. An advisor to President Putin says
it is illegitimate for Poroshenko to sign it. The second, Poroshenko himself is illegitimate.
Russia says the deal will result in serious consequences. Here at home, 36 people were hurt when a floor gave way as people were taking part in a religious ceremony in a private home in Katy, Texas, outside Houston.
Everybody was like dizzy praying and it just collapsed.
Most of the injuries were minor. As many as 125 people were in that apartment above a detached garage. On the weather map today, more rains expected in the upper Midwest, where rivers are high and there are fears flooding will only get worse. Mark Miller's keeping an eye on a lake dam not far from his home outside Des Moines, Iowa.
This water flow that's coming down here, it is definitely the hardest and fastest I've ever seen it.
In Blakely, Minnesota, most people have been out of their homes all week because of flooding. Some of the 500 residents have now had a first chance to go back and check on things.
I got 4 inches of water on one side and about 4.5 inches of water and mud combined throughout the whole basement.
Flooding in Alaska's Denali National Park has forced some visitors and workers to be airlifted out. A rock slide closed the only road in and out of the park, but officials expect it to reopen today. When times got tough during the financial crisis, many people with bad credit scores got left in the dust. Now it's different. CBS's Peter King joins us.
And Steve, credit card companies are always looking to increase their revenue. Now with high-end borrowers kind of maxed out, they're handing out more cards to high-risk, so-called subprime borrowers. Some 3.7 million cards during the first quarter. The Wall Street Journal reports U.S. banks earned 4% less in operating revenue from last year during that period. Those risky borrowers help make up for it by paying more than 21% interest, nearly twice as much as others.
Outside Atlanta, a couple's accused of locking their 13-year-old son in the basement for more than a year.
Inside the room was a box spring, a mattress on top of it, and a jug that the child was using as a toilet.
Police official Jake Smith says it seems the boy was fed regularly and showed no signs of physical abuse. His parents were facing charges, told police the child was being punished. The board that runs San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge is expected to approve $76 million in spending today for a suicide barrier, a stainless steel safety net. Bridge manager Dennis Mulligan.
If someone jumps into the net, they will get hurt, but they will not die. And so clearly the intent of this project is to stop the deaths that are occurring at the bridge.
More than 1,400 people have plunged to their deaths off the Golden Gate Bridge since it opened in 1937. Under the plan, most of the money will come from the federal government. A Los Angeles jury is now weighing the multi-million-dollar lawsuit filed on behalf of San Francisco Giants fan Brian Stowe. He was beaten and left with brain damage in the L.A. Dodgers parking lot after an opening day game more than 3 years ago. The suit accuses the Dodgers and former owner Frank McCourt of negligence because security was lax. At the World Cup, the U.S. lost the battle but won the war. A 1-0 loss to Germany did not stop the Americans from advancing to the tournament's second round. 16 teams are left. The U.S. plays Belgium on Tuesday in a win-or-go-home situation. American goalkeeper Tim Howard says it's a tough matchup.
They got a lot of things to worry about. You know, I've played with a bunch of those guys on the Belgian team. They've got a lot of young players. We're fast, and we control the ball well. So it's going to be a hard-fought game.
In Brooklyn, the NBA held its annual draft of the top young basketball talent from around the globe.
With the first pick in the 2014 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Andrew Wiggins.
Wiggins is a Toronto-born forward who played 1 year at Kansas, and he dressed to impress, wowing the draft crowd with a black tuxedo jacket with a white floral print.
I've been dreaming of this moment from when I was a little kid, you know, and my dream was just to make the NBA.
10 international players were taken in the draft's first round. Actor Shia LaBeouf's latest performance is getting some bad reviews in New York City.
If we didn't know who he was, we would assume he was a bum.
That woman was one of many who saw LaBeouf hauled out of the audience at a theater during intermission of the show Cabaret.
Honestly, I wasn't thinking drunk or drugs. I was thinking he was working on a role because it was that extreme.
Police say LaBeouf faces disorderly conduct and criminal trespass charges. On television, Whoopi Goldberg is the last one on the stage at The View.
We are thrilled to introduce somebody making a very special appearance today.
Within hours yesterday, co-hosts Jenny McCarthy and Sherry Shepherd both announced they're leaving the show. Barbara Walters retired in the spring, of course, but is still executive producer of The View on ABC. Two lottery losers insist they're really winners, and now they want their money.
The New Jersey Lottery is being sued by two men who claim they lost $1 million because the lottery website wasn't updated fast enough. Shortly after the winning numbers were drawn at 11 p.m. on March 23rd, Salvador Cambria and Eric Onyango say they checked the site and tossed their ticket when the numbers didn't match. They claim they realized the next day that the ticket was a winner, but at the time they checked the website, it was still showing the numbers from the previous drawing. No comment from lottery officials. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
A 12-year-old Panama City, Florida boy may be the talk of his classmates, but he's also got some big trouble with the law. He's accused of taking a school bus on a 14-mile joyride after finding the keys in the ignition. No one got hurt, and police say video indicates he handled the bus pretty well. Erratic moves, though, in a Walmart parking lot prompted employees to call police. That's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.